Everybody, and welcome to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacy, and I'm back. Oh, I am so excited. It's season two, and I have just been waiting to get back on this microphone to talk with my tribe, and I am so happy that you all are joining me from wherever you are listening to your podcast. Maybe it's Wednesday morning, and it's 6:01, and you're getting ready for work, and you're like, Season 2, HIH, just dropped. I got to get this while it's hot. Or, you know, maybe it's been a couple days since we've dropped and it's Friday night and you're curled up next to a fire and you've got some wine and you're joining us then. Whenever it is, wherever it is, I'm so happy that you're back and I'm happy to be back here in the studio with you. It has been, you know, quite a few months since our first season wrapped up. It was a pretty successful season. We had 22 episodes and we closed it out and took a little bit of a break for the summertime. It's always nice to have a break and to be able to go out and do things outside. Spent a lot of the summer at the ball field. Got two kids, two out of three were playing ball. The third one was just playing in the dirt all the time. So spent a lot of time doing that and had some, you know, some pretty major life changes that I'm sure will come up in this episode. But it's been a nice break. But I tell you what, I couldn't be happier than to be back with my Hustlin' in Heels tribe and pretty pumped about season two. We've got some great guests coming your way. I've got a lineup that is ready, set to go that will be joining me in the studio. And this is just the very first episode. And I have some lovely ladies, some of my girlfriends here tonight in the studio with me. And I think we've got a pretty good topic. But before we talk about our topic, we want to talk about our wine. But before we talk about our wine, I better introduce you. So we'll start with you, Ange.
Hey, guys.
Nothing like being put on the spot. Like,
what the hell? Wait, what?
In mid-drink of my wine, but it's okay. I'll rebound quick. My name's Angie. By day, I am a senior copywriter. By night, I put a cape on and try to do the best that I can, just like the rest of us.
Isn't that nice? What color is your cape?
I like all colors. It's kind of rainbow-ish.
Okay, you know? It just depends. Yeah. Depends on your mood.
It does. It mm-hmm. depends on the mood, just mm-hmm. like everything else. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I fly it greatly. That greatly is not right. Mike, why don't you cut that out?
I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you.
I fly things greatly.
Proudly. I fly it proudly and with enthusiasm and confidence.
There we go. There we go. And we are also joined. We have a third tonight. So, Miss Gina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
I am Gina. I am grew up in Berrien Springs. I'm originally from there.
We're pouring the wine.
Sorry, guys. If you couldn't tell. I grew up on a little farm. I raised alpacas and chickens and llamas and showed them in the Berrien County Youth Fair. And currently, I am living in St. Joe and trying to find a career and being a mom.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty busy.
I am really busy. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's talk about the wine. You know, listeners, if you were a faithful listener of season one, you know that a staple of the HIH podcast is we feature a local wine and we talk about the wine and we talk about how we love that wine and maybe how we obtain that wine. And it's been so fantastic because not only have wineries reached out to us and have donated wine, which are my favorite kinds of donations, I'm always accepting those, but that's been pretty cool. But a lot of our listeners, too, have purchased the wine that we talk about because, you know, what's better than a recommendation from your girlfriend? So I brought some wine. I really had to represent my girls at Lazy Ballerina Winery. So Lauren and Mel and, you know, there is a third that's involved in this Lazy Ballerina Winery. Gina actually is, what's your official title?
I'm like part-time family.
She's a work badass.
Work there for wine. I love them. And I just thought it would be cliche if I brought that kind of wine. I support them too.
Uh-huh. Yes, you do. But I am not above a cliche, and I'm not above promoting my fellow ladies who are just, they're killing it in the wine industry. And they were on an episode of season one, but from Lazy Ballerina Winery, I have decided to bring in the Oaked Chardonnay. I love it. I love the Chardonnay so much.
I know.
We went to the Women Among Women, which is a great group that they offer there once a month, kind of a networking for women. And I went there, and the Oaked Chardonnay was no longer on the menu. So I've had this bottle for a few months. I've been saving it up just for a special occasion, and tonight is that special occasion. But this wine bottle is not lonely because y'all brought some as well.
We needed a tribe of wine.
Exactly. So, Ange, talk about your wine.
Yeah, so being a writer, I love stories. And this is from Dablon, but it's called Music Box. And the back of it sort of talks about the history, and they made it specifically to honor the Music Box Theater. And as you told me earlier, mm-hmm. apparently they own the Music Box as well. Mm-hmm. But I just love the story on the back of it, and I love my sweet whites. I know that I might be in the minority there, but it was a Moscato, and the name of it is Music Box, so it spoke to me.
It did speak to you.
It did.
I was worried. I looked at my selection today. You know, every woman has to have a wine selection, and I'm like, all right, I really want the Lazy Ballerina Chardonnay, but I did bring a second bottle because I thought, all right, Angie's coming tonight, and she really likes sweet wine. We actually have four bottles. It would probably be a bad idea to drink all four, but we do have four bottles, but I'll save that one for the next episode, but it's a little bit sweeter, but then you brought your own, so it's good stuff. All right, Gina, what are you drinking?
Oh, I am drinking, it's a Merlot from Moonrise. It's a newer winery, kind of out in Watervliet area. Some people might not know that area, but it's also off of M140 on Hills Road, and they have a great landscaping area, vineyards that kind of go up this hill, and they say that you can see on a full moon, it's just the prettiest spot to see it there. It's kind of out in the country area, and it's kind of a vanilla-y taste, this one is. I really fell in love with it. So
awesome. Yeah. So we are enjoying three local wines in our Hustlin' and Heels wine glasses, and we're ready, I think, to talk about our topic tonight. I invited these ladies because they are not only friends of mine, but they're members of, like I mentioned, the Women Among Women networking group that is put on by Lauren at Lazy Ballerina Winery. And it's this group that started, gosh, back in January. And it was this very organic idea, I think, that Lauren had, where a lot of networking opportunities are very surface level. And she wanted to offer something that was a little bit deeper, that would be not just go there, drink some wine, kind of chit chat, just, you know, like talk about the weather and talk about what you're doing at work. She wanted to create something where women could actually come and feel like a part of a tribe, where they would really talk about a topic more in depth. So last week we were all there and we talked about the idea of goals and what gets in your way of your goals and kind of, things like that that we talked about, and it was awesome. And the two ladies that I have here with me tonight really had a lot to contribute to that as well. And so I wanted them to join me here tonight because I think they also are going to have a lot to contribute to our topic tonight, which is the whole idea of reinvention. So why are we talking about reinvention? Great question, listeners. So I feel like y'all know me pretty well. You joined me for 22 episodes. You kind of knew my backstory for the most part. But, you know, in the time that I wasn't on the air, I was going through some life changes. And that's kind of what happens to some women, especially when they're maybe in their mid-30s, late-30s. You know, as a lot of my friends are, it seems to kind of be a time for reevaluation and reflection. And I guess really can happen at any age. But for me, this is when it is. So the whole idea of reinvention kind of jumped out at me when I started about starting episode one of season two, because season one was great, but for season two, we almost have to kind of reinvent it again, and we have to make it fresh and make it new. And that's kind of what I'm doing in my life. You know, my life feels a little bit new. It feels a little bit fresh. I talk a lot about this is not my practice life. So I do a lot of new things, more so this year than ever. And largely is the reason because of all the changes that I've gone through. You know, I ran Spartan races. So we had a goal to complete the trifecta. Tara and I completed that, and it was pretty awesome. And then as a result of completing the trifecta, y'all, I got my tattoo. I finally did it. And the guy that did the tattoo, Zach Weaver, actually is the host of another podcast here on NBI Studios. So a fellow podcast host, a fellow family member of NBI Studios, did a little Spartan helmet on my hip. So that was kind of fun. And then, you know, the biggest life changes, I went through a divorce. So I guess that probably be a different topic for another day. But those are some of the major really life changes. And with divorce comes a lot of change and a lot of upheaval that can be navigated well if you take the time to do that, but certainly creates an opportunity for reinvention. So I've talked a lot, so I want to toss it over to you guys. So what do you, when you think of the word reinvention, what does that mean?
Shall I go?
You shall.
Can I bring a quote in?
Yes.
Because, please do.
This is kind of what started my reinvention after I've been going through a separation and being a single mom and everything, was this quote that I found, and I don't know who it's by. I just found it on social media, but it's, and if I asked you to name all the things that you love, how long would it take for you to name yourself? And it really resonated with me. Like, wow, it's not one of those things that I put on a list because I'm always worried about somebody else or, you know, trying to follow all these societal norms about, you know, you need to do this, or this is how you raise your kid, or this is the marriage that you need to be in, or the career that you should be following, or whatever it is. And it's kind of like, you know, I need to take time for myself, not on a, you know, huge selfish level, but just because sometimes we forget about ourselves. And we forget about the fact that we change and we grow and we're learning new things constantly throughout this life. And it's okay to do new things and try new things and keep going with it. So reinvention for me is just kind of started with this one quote that I was just like, yeah, I need to do new things and I need to try new things.
And I remember following you because Gina and I became friends beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, like at the women's group.
At the women's group. Yeah. And then we obviously were friends in real life and then became friends on Facebook. And I remember, I mean, I've kind of followed your journey as well. And I remember this whole, like, you could just kind of tell that you were starting this whole reinvention phase and just saying, you know, I'm going to try new things. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to see what happens. And it seems like it's working for you.
Yeah. No, it is. And I've met a lot of people through this women's group that has been great. I've also rekindled friendships that I've met them before, but then kind of we lost track of each other. And then we found each other again at this group. I've met new people even through you. I did the decided to do the Girls on the Gridiron.
Yeah.
And that was so much fun. And I met people through that. And that was a blast. And so, yeah, just trying new things. It's been great.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's part of reinvention is doing new stuff, yeah, right? And putting yourself out there. So, Angie, what does the whole idea of reinvention mean to you?
I think, you know, as I started thinking about this, I was thinking about what defines reinvention, you know? And first you have to sort of define, like, how do you define yourself? And I think a lot of women define themselves by their roles, right? You know, I am a mother. I am a parent. I am a daughter. I am, you know, a girlfriend, a wife, and those sorts of things. And what it boils down to is, why can't we just be I am? And I really started thinking about that, you know, and I don't have children. I was single for a really long time. I didn't have those roles to define myself by. I wasn't necessarily a career woman. I enjoyed my job, but I wasn't anything. But I was. And so it's one of, I think we get into those positions where we're defining ourselves by our roles instead of really digging in and learning who we are and what motivates us, you know, and like you said, trying new things. I literally in the last 2 weeks have come to this Women Among Women group. And now I'm doing this podcast and I'm going to be a part of a book club of a bunch of ladies that I don't know. And you've inspired me to try to Spartan.
Woo-hoo! And we're going to get another Spartan. Are you going to join us, Gina?
I need to train a lot. I did do CrossFit this year.
Me too. See?
So couch to CrossFit.
Absolutely. So, oh, y'all can do a Spartan. We'll start you off with a sprint.
Yeah. I'll,
oh, that's oh, all I'm sprint. Doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, we'll start you off
the
with
Spartan
a sprint.
Sprint.
Oh, just
but
the
you
Spartan
can do
sprint.
It. You
just,
can do it.
Just the all sprint. Right. And I'm telling you.
Only if you train me.
As my Spartan friends out there, as my Spartan tribe will tell you, you'll start with a sprint and then you'll know at the finish line and then you'll be hooked. And then you'll be like, oh, I can do a super. And then you do a super and you'll be like, I can totally do a beast. And then you'll do a beast. And then after you complete the trifecta and you do the super and the sprint and the beast, you'll be like, oh, what's this ultra thing? Oh, it's a 30-mile race? I could totally do that.
Man,
that's
the goal. I'm not sure.
That's
about
the goal
that.
For 2019.
I'm in. I'm competitive.
I'm putting it out
Let's
there.
Let's do it.
There you go.
Let's do it.
Putting it out there. Yeah. So talk a little bit about, I mean, I know, Gina, you're kind of experiencing this reinvention stage. I certainly am. I feel like mine's been a year long. I'm not sure if it's over yet, this whole reinvention stage. But, and you reinvented yourself back when you decided to move, right?
I did.
So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I like taking care of people. I enjoy it. It's my motivator. It's what I do. I take care of my parent. I'm a caregiver. Even though I'm not a parent, I'm a caregiver. It is something that I enjoy and that also drains the energy out of me. And you give yourself so much to other people that you forget to give back to yourself. And when you're not your best self, you're not your best for other people either. And I had just gotten to a point where I was in a failing relationship and my job wasn't going very well. And I had some other outside personal things going on. And, I was crying every day I went home. It was horrible. And I got to a point where I was like, I can't live like this anymore, but I don't know how to get out of it when I'm in it, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely.
So I decided to, I thought, I'm in marketing, I'm in advertising, and I thought, where can I go that I can get a job, hopefully, within a short period of time that's far enough away to create some distance to find myself again? Because I have no idea who I am. I am all of these things to all of these people, but I don't know who I am to myself. So I moved to New York. I didn't have a job, and I didn't know anybody, and I moved to New York. And I drank a lot of wine the first 6 months I was there, straight out of the bottle. Do not judge me.
Sweet wine, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let me tell you, the hangovers were horrible. I don't recommend it. However, it was the best move I've ever made because I wasn't responsible to anybody else because I couldn't be. I was too far away for anybody else to depend on me. I had to be responsible to myself. And I found myself again. I found my strength. I realized the things that I could do and that I enjoyed getting lost in a crowd and being able to do whatever I wanted to. And I gained so much perspective while I was out there because I created some distance. I allowed myself grace enough to become a better me so I could become a better daughter or girlfriend down the road or mother should I be one someday. It really was a reinvention of myself. And mm-hmm. I try to remind myself of that still, even though I've been back for years now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think we also sort of get lost in that, that notion of we just push ourselves back, you know, and let everybody else go to the front of the line because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose ourselves in all of that. And it can be hard to find our way back sometimes.
Yep. Absolutely. And I like how you said that you try to remind yourself of that, right? Like, and
not
I
always successful.
No, it's and it's hard. It's hard to take yourself mentally back to that place when you felt strong, when you felt independent, when you felt confident and, you know, when you felt good about yourself and you felt like you could take on the world. Recently, I decided that I needed to get some distance. Now, I didn't move anywhere because I've three little ones here that would have been pretty heartbreaking if I decided to get up for me. I can't like leave them longer than, you know, 12 hours sometimes. Well, just kidding. They're at the stage where I can leave them longer than 12 hours. Mama needs a break. But, you know, a lot of life change is happening. And sometimes you just need to get right with yourself and you need to get your mind right. And the way that I do that, the way that I found this year that works the best for me is to get outside. I need to get outside. And I decided that not only did I need to get outside, I needed to get way outside and way up high. So on a Tuesday, I figured out that I had an open weekend. So on a Tuesday, I thought, all right, where's a place I've never been that I would like to go to? Because I have this, this flight voucher. And the reason I have this flight voucher, listeners, is you'll remember Tara and I decided we were going to book our big Spartan Beast race for Hawaii. Great idea. We were super excited. On the Wednesday before we were supposed to leave for our Beast in Hawaii, there was this little thing called Hurricane Lane that decided to sweep through the Hawaiian Islands. Only the third hurricane in Hawaii in the last century. Yes, last 100 years. And so it decided to sweep through there, canceling the Spartan race in Hawaii. So here I am left with this little voucher where I can go anywhere I want, you know, for this price. So on a Tuesday, I thought, all right, where's someplace I've never been? I contacted a friend. He said, you got to go hiking out in Colorado. Never been to Colorado. Tuesday, I booked the flight. On Wednesday, I booked the Airbnb. Thursday, I booked the rental car. On Friday, I was on a plane and I touched down in Denver and I spent the weekend hiking in the mountains, stayed at Estes Park and went up in the Rocky Mountains. And I'm telling you, life-changing, right? Like life-changing event. When you get up there, when you hike for 10 miles and hours and hours and hours by yourself, you kind of have an opportunity to talk to yourself and to think some things through. And that's really what I needed. So and the reason why I bring that up is because you talk about, all right, sometimes I need to like remind myself, who was I back then? Like, who was I in New York? I do that too. Like, if I'm ever kind of feeling down, I think, all right, remember the mountains. Remember that badass that you were when you were climbing up that mountain by yourself with using your hands and your feet and, you know, remember that feeling. Hold on to that feeling, which is hard to do in the hustle and bustle of the world. But as women, I think it's so important for us to step outside, whatever that is, step outside of your comfort zone, step outside, really get outside, step outside of the box, and then try to hold on to that feeling. Because you can't live there forever, right? It's like a fantasy world. But because you have to come back to the real world. But if you can kind of remember those lessons and hold on to those lessons, which is harder than it seems, right?
So I have a question.
Yeah.
How do you get selfish, though? So we're sitting here mm-hmm. talking about this, and in my head, and you and I have talked about possibly doing a Spartan Sprint, right?
Yeah.
And where could we do it? And maybe doing a girls trip. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, it's my first Spartan Sprint. How selfish of me to do that without my husband. And then I'm like, but no, like, it's a girls trip, but then yes. I'm like, well, but how would I feel? You know what I mean? I think it's hard for us to get outside of our head and be selfish, because at the end of the day, that's sort of what it is. Like,
sure.
We're giving ourselves grace
yep.
to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
How do we allow ourselves to do that? I think a lot of women are wondering, like, what is the first step to be able to do that?
Yes. I'm not sure if I'm the best person to ask. I'm just going to be honest.
I don't have answers,
because
ladies.
I have no problem doing it. But I think it depends on your life stage, right? Like, if it were 5 years ago, so right now my kids are almost 10, 8, and 4. Let's say it was 3 years ago. And I had a baby at home. Am I hopping on a plane? Am I going to Colorado for 4 days? I'm not. Because that would have caused some troubles and issues for my baby, right? Like, that would have been hard to leave her when she's only one. So it really kind of depends on the life stage. And I guess that is going to dictate how you're stepping out. You know, maybe you're stepping outside for a couple hours. But I think that's a good question. And I think that a lot of women do deal with that kind of guilt where they put everybody first. So in order for them to kind of step back or step outside, that's hard for them to do. It's hard for them to rationalize that. What do you think?
I think it kind of comes down to kind of having a disappointment. Like, you don't want people to be disappointed as well. So, you know, being selfish, you don't want people to judge you or be a failure of these things. And like for me this year, I quit my job. And that's a huge life-changing event. And I just kind of decided that I'm going to find my wings on the way down. And if I'm flat on my face, the only way back up is up, right? The only way, the only where to go, anywhere to go is back up. And so I think for me, it was kind of like I had to stop thinking about what everybody else was thinking and what everybody else expected me to be at. I had just graduated with a second bachelor's a year before and I took this job and I wasn't happy with it. I wasn't interested in it. I wasn't where I wanted to be. People were complaining in the job. They weren't happy there, but they'd been there for years and I just didn't want to be that person. And so for me, it was just kind of like taking yourself out of it's a certain situation and knowing what's best for you and just kind of like how you said, it's kind of depends on where you're at in your life and who you are and making these selfish, quotation marks, selfish decisions, because is it really selfish if you're trying to take care of yourself? Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. And I think we're so conditioned to take care of everybody else. But, you know, you flip it around and you think, all right, if I am a caretaker, if I am taking care of somebody, of everybody else, I can't do a very good job of that if I'm not taking care of myself. If I'm not happy, that's going to translate into how I'm taking care of others. And so to me, that's been a big eye opener this year too, because, you know, for the last 10 years of my life, I have definitely identified myself as a mother and I've been very involved in my children's life and I continue to be, but as they're getting a little bit older, I can kind of, I've stepped out of the fog. We've talked a lot about that in other episodes where, you know, when your kids are young, it's a fog. There are some years I swear I don't remember just because it was wake up, feed them, dress them, get them to daycare or school or and then come home. And then, I mean, it's just like this continuous cycle that you're on and you wake up one day and it's a couple years later and you look at your Facebook memories and you're like, are these sweet babies? 3 years ago, this is what they were doing. And then you cry and you want to have another baby, but then you slap yourself and you say, shut up. And you drink some coffee and you go to work because that would be crazy to have another baby. But, you know, it's just, I think it all comes down to if you are taking care of other people, you have to include yourself among that, you know, and whatever that is, selfish is, it's a funny way to describe it because, I mean, you're taking care of yourself, but it's probably a good thing. You know, we think of selfish as being a bad thing, but it's in this case, I think it's probably a good thing.
And you know why? It's because it's not your practice life.
Right.
You got one shot.
One shot. Yeah. I know. What are you going to do with it, right? Yeah. You're going to spend it going on the mountains? You're going to spend it crying on your couch?
A little bit of both, maybe.
Okay, fine.
With a bottle of wine. Yeah, I'll do it either way.
There's wine there anywhere. I'll do it.
Just putting that out there.
So, and we were talking before we put the headphones on. You put this question out to your kind of friends group on Facebook. And somebody on your friends list said, okay, I love the whole idea of reinvention after these major life events. But what's the first step? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that? How do you reinvent? How do you make yourself a priority?
I mean, I think the first step for anything is acknowledging it, right? You know, I mean, it's tough. It's hard to be able to take a step back and be like, something isn't okay and I need to change it, right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same result. But first you have to own it and be like, okay, there is something that isn't working because I am not my best self right now. And that can be really hard to admit because you want to be the best everything. You want to be the best wife and mother and daughter and career person and do it all because social media does not help these days.
No.
In that aspect. I mean, we talked a little bit about that in the Women Among Women, you know. But it's the acknowledgement that I don't have to be all things to all people at all times. And now I need to figure out how to be me.
Yep.
Because when I meet, like, there's a reason your husband fell in love with you or your boyfriend fell in love with you, whatever, because you are you. Your children are going to love you because they are loved and clothed and safe. And if you don't draw pictures on the food that you make and pack their lunches and the exact right, it's still going to be all right.
God. You mean I can just send them and they can eat whatever baked chicken products on the menu?
It's going to be okay.
Because that's the shit I'm doing.
It's going to be okay. Like,
that's fine. I ate chicken nuggets for dinner. FYI.
Exactly. I mean, wine. Wine is life
and
right
wine.
Now.
And chocolate. So.
I mean, these Pinterest lives aren't real, right? And mm-hmm. So we need to allow ourselves some grace to be like, they're all going to be all right if we're not perfect and we're figuring us out. Because at the end of the day, it's a better long run. So we need to find a better way to see the big picture instead of the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. It can be real hard, but I think the first step is just getting honest with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know when you're in a funk. You know what you absolutely. Know when it's like, all right, girl, wash your face, right? It's like right. Time to get your shit together, whatever you were going through. All right, that's fine. Brush it off. And now it's time to step up and reinvent and put, you know, positivity out into the universe and do some things that are going to make you a better person. And I do think it is kind of that realization. So what do you think? What's the first step?
No, I absolutely agree. I think acknowledgement is the first step, and knowing that, you know, a change needs to be made or something needs to be done. I think another step, depending on what situation you're in, is grief. I think you have to get over this grief thing about what you've lost or what you used to be or what, because you're constantly changing. For me, going through a separation, I have a 7-year-old, and I thought I'd be a mom to like 3-4 kids by now. And I didn't have that. I don't have that. And I had to get over kind of a bump in the road, knowing that, okay, right now I'm not having more kids. I'm doing other things. And I need to try these other things that do make me happy or do excite me or something other than just being a mom, because I'm still a mom to this wonderful boy who just turned 7 on Monday. And
the cutest.
Yeah, he is a little smartass, but the cutest, yes. But, you know, just this like kind of grief period for me. And then I had a bunch of friends that got pregnant with their either first or second kids. I had 13 friends. In my group of friends, they're all kind of different. They don't know each other. You know, some of them know each other. Some of them don't. But then I was like, you know, I really need to go make some more tribe friends, you know? Like, I really got to step outside my box because they're going to be doing different things. I'm going to be doing different things. And I need to make myself aware of how I feel about things like that and be just trying new things.
I mean, and what you just said reminded me, and I'm completely going to paraphrase right now because I don't remember exactly what it said, but there's some meme that is flying around out there, and I'm sure it's a quote, paraphrased quote of somebody, but it's like something to the effect of, the biggest hurdle in life is letting go of what you thought your life was going to be and accepting what it is.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it's huge because it's so true. And here's the thing, ladies, is that it doesn't have to be big. You don't have to go out and like buy a new house and move to a new city and go climb mountains in Colorado to start the change. You can like, if you're trying to feel better about yourself and usually you go to bed with makeup on because you're absolutely exhausted, buy those wipes that you wipe your makeup off with at night and like literally take 3 minutes to yourself in the bathroom and use a wipe to wipe your makeup off. So then in the morning, you feel more refreshed.
Right.
Like that literally is a step. It can be as small as that. It doesn't have to be these
tiptoe. No, it doesn't have to be grandiose. Right?
Tiptoe if you must, but take the step.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think that's, I mean, I think what you guys are saying is absolutely spot on. You know what some women do? And I love this because you can tell, you know, in your friends list on Facebook. They change their hair color or they get a haircut, you know?
I usually cut
like,
my hair.
Yes. They change it or they get a haircut. It's like, you know, a woman is about to change her life when she changes her hair.
Watch
like,
out.
Forget it.
You know what the trend is, though? It's so funny because I was just having this conversation with a couple of friends of mine who are going through some very large life changes. And they both brought this up. They were like, it used to be that you'd change your hair. Now you redecorate your house. You take the pictures down with that have all of the memories to them and all of it, and then you put your own shit up.
Oh.
Because that and it's a reinvention. You are reinventing your life by putting the things up that you love now.
Yeah. Like I like that.
Yeah.
And reinvention can really be I like that you talk about the grief part too, because it's a for some of these life changes, it's a huge upheaval. I mean, gosh, I mean, I went from a home that I thought I was going to be in forever to buying my own home that's smaller, super cute, but, you know, has me and my three children in it. And it's kind of letting go of what I thought was going to be the forever, yeah, and then kind of figuring out what's my new forever and not needing to know. So I'm a planner, right?
Yes,
like I want to know what's going to happen. And I think, part of that grief part was I don't know. I don't know what's coming up. I always thought plan A was going to happen and I was going to go from point A to B to C to D and all the way I was going to follow it in line. And now I'm all over the place and I'm not sure where that endpoint is. And so that can be kind of scary. I think with reinvention, and I'm a jumper. We've talked about that a lot on our episodes, but it doesn't mean that's not scary. Like there's a lot of things that are scary that you just kind of have to have to figure out, right?
And I was kind of the opposite. So, you know, I got so used to being so independent and sort of, I mean, when I moved to New York, I mean, I was loose, you know, not
Leave it in, Mike.
Let me rephrase that.
What glass of wine are you on?
I mean, are we through any of the bottles yet?
I'm like 3/4 of the way of my own bottles, so.
Let's go with loose. That's a great word.
New York is loose.
New York wasn't that lucky. I wasn't that loose. Just saying. Anyways. Although I did get told that I had swag by some New York boy when I was there. Oh, like legitimately walked up to me and was like, honey, you've got swag. And I turned around and I said, my Midwestern mother taught me right.
That's right. Aw, bless your heart.
I know, right?
But my point was, I came home with the intent, like, things sort of didn't work. I moved home for a job. Things didn't work out. I expected to move back to a big city. And then I met the guy who's now my husband, you know, and I ended up, I got married. I got a mortgage, all in the same year. And man, putting roots down was real hard for me. Yeah. So I think, you know, there are a lot of women on like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely.
Like it doesn't have to be the same to be scary. You know what I mean? Like
That's a reinvention.
Still on the daily is scary for me. Like there are still moments where I'm like, I'm packing my shit and I am leaving. My car is big enough that I can fit everything I need in this trunk and I am peacing out. Except I have a husband whom I love and I have a mortgage that I have to deal with. But it's tough. Yeah. It is a reinvention in itself. And I have to remind myself that I chose that life. And there's a reason that I chose that life. And even in those hard times, there's a reason I chose that life. And I'm not who I used to be. I reinvented myself to some degree, but I don't have to lose all of it either.
Right.
You know, and I balance. Balance is a word that we all have a problem with, and trying to find it is so hard. It's just so hard.
I mean, it might be impossible.
I don't know. I think balance might be very impossible.
But that's why you have your tribe, right?
Yes, but you try, right? I just want to go back to the planning portion because I'm a big planner too, and so for things to kind of just go, you know, AWOL wherever, it just seems super just crazy to me, and I'm super afraid of failure. But here I am teaching my 7-year-old, like, it's okay to fail, right? And I'm not even living by the words that I tell him. Like, it's okay to fail because you know what? That makes you stronger and it builds your character and you learn from it. And I learned from a friend, an old friend from high school told me to just stop planning. Just prepare for a couple different events. Just prepare. Stop planning, but prepare. So then you're prepared for different things to happen because that's what ultimately is going to happen in life, right? You know, is this where I thought I would be 5 years ago? Not at all. And so if I would plan 5 years ago where I would be right now, none of it would have worked out. But I could have prepared for any of these scenarios.
Sure.
And I could have been a little bit better at what I was doing in this last couple of years.
But that's part of the learning process.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that is part of the preparation, you know? I mean, I don't know. I like what you're saying, Ange, too, about like there are different types of reinvention, right? Every woman is reinventing herself all the time.
Every day.
When you have a brand new baby for the first time, That's a huge reinvention. And then years later, when you get out of the fog, you have to find yourself again. And that's another reinvention. When you get married, that's a reinvention. I want to talk about this topic of, this is kind of, you know, this like a cliche phrase or this buzzword of finding yourself, right? Like, what does that mean when you find yourself? Or can you, or what do you do? Like, if you're, we talked about taking that first step. And part of reinvention, I think, is figuring out who you are. So how do you do that?
But I mean, I don't know. So I thought about this a little bit because I know you brought it up earlier. I think it depends on what phase of life you're in, right?
Sure.
So I mean, finding yourself is different in your teens versus your 20s versus your 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like, I think that there is this lifespan of finding yourself. And it also goes along with where you thought you were going to be and where you actually are, and then trying to figure that out. I mean, I'm 41. I don't have any children. I've only been married for a few years. I never thought, like, I thought I was going to be a school teacher with three kids and a white picket fence, and like, I'd be married for 10 years by now. And that's not what happened. And at some point I had to find myself to be okay with that. But then, you know, life throws things your way, and you just have to continue to find yourself. I mean, you know, we're talking about reinvention and like marriages and divorces and things like that. But, you know, for a lot of women, they find out they can't be mothers. And then you have to reinvent yourself after that. And like, these really hard life things that come your way, like these realizations that kind of punch you in the face. And then you have to reinvent yourself, not only yourself, but your relationships and like all of the things that come with that. I don't know if you find yourself. I don't know if you ever do.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's kind of like a stepping stone. I think maybe you can find yourself in that moment, in that time, and if you're, you know, happy at in that position, but then you're kind of always growing. You're always changing. There's always something. I can actually think of a lyric from this song that I from someone took me to a concert that, you know, I met him through trying new things this year.
Sure.
And we went to a Frankie Ballard concert, and one of his songs is Hell of a Life. And one of the lyrics is, I think, you know, we all have faith, we all have hope, but we're all a little lost in the same damn boat. It's a hell of a life, right? So we're all kind of lost and trying to find ourselves and but at the same time, trying to get out and move along and move ahead, because I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago.
No.
We learn new things, you know, the people that we meet, we grow, we change, we learn different musics, we learn different books, we, you know, we're just constantly learning, and it's constantly changing us. So I don't think you're ever going to really find yourself. I think it's going to be in the moment. And as long as you're happy in that moment and moving forward, I think that's where you'll find yourself more later.
Sure. It's almost like a constant reinvention then.
Yeah, reinvention.
I think that word moments is so key, because I, you know, I'm thinking about it now, and like when I found myself is when I'm sitting, women among women, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like I love this dialogue right now. I'm surrounded by women who are intelligent and engaged, and they want to create a dialogue, and it's not, you know, especially with the dichotomy of, you know, politics and stuff right now. It was so refreshing to have just sort of a positive conversation with smart, intelligent women. You know, but like sometimes sitting at work, I'll be in a moment and think, this is like, I'm really happy right now. And literally a half an hour later, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing here? But it's those
yes,
moments
sure.
of peace and contentment and feeling like, this is where I should be in this exact 5 seconds
yes.
of a moment.
I
yes.
love that.
Yes.
I love that. Because sometimes, especially when you are going through a life change, those don't come as often. You know,
no.
you feel some sadness.
Yeah.
Like I felt some sadness, you know, in the last year or so. But there are those moments in the mountains, those moments when you're with your tribe, when I'm with my best friends and we're sharing a bottle of wine and we're, you know, we're chatting, we're sitting around a fire. There are those moments when you think, all right, I made the right choices, All right. I might not be there yet, but I'm going in the right direction. You know, things are happening. Things are moving. Things are going to be all right.
And even as a mom, right? Like, you posted something the other day about your sweet girl sitting there. Like, she was sleeping and she'd been like a hellion earlier or whatever.
She's such
but, like, in that moment, here's the key is taking the time to recognize it. Mm-hmm. You took the time to recognize in this moment, I am doing something right.
Yes.
Because it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
In 30 seconds, it might not, but right. I am going to relish it right in this very moment. And I think that if we took more time to do that, those tough times it would be easier to take because we'd rebound a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Because those small moments are probably a lot more prevalent than any of us realize.
Yeah. Yeah. And they probably come more than we recognize. Mm-hmm. And so it's just recognizing those moments when they do come by.
Or just telling yourself you got this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do this. I do this often, talking to myself. But, you know, I'll be running around. I'll have to stop at the house real quick or grab a snack, change clothes, and then run because I coached Zayden soccer this year.
Yeah.
Run and grab them for soccer. And then we have swim afterwards. And sometimes I'm just rushing so much and I just have to be like, I get in the car and I'm about to drive away and I'm just like, you got this. You got
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Because tomorrow's a new day. The sun always rises. Sun always sets.
It does. Yes. Yeah. The world's going to keep turning,
mm-hmm.
regardless of if we had a shitty day or a good day, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. I mean, especially in those moments where you're feeling like, when you're feeling a little down, and they tend to come at night, you know, mm-hmm. after the hustle and bustle mm-hmm. of the day.
When you're sitting there with your wine.
Yeah.
You know, glasses in.
Because my day starts early. My day normally starts at 4 a.m. And I try to get a workout in. And then I, you know, get kids up and get them ready for school. Then you go to work all day. Then you have practice, whatever sport they're in at the time. Then you have dinner. And then you have bath time. Then you have, you know, books and brush your teeth and no, you don't need a goddamn another glass of water. Like, there's no reason why that
I'm hungry
person
at 9
needs
PM.
That much water. Like, I wrote this the other day. I know, now, Mom, don't correct me here, but I know I did not need that much water to go to bed. That is like a new thing. I swear to God.
So my kid's always hungry.
God, I know.
I gave you 50 chances to eat. And he said, I'm full and full and full.
I know.
9 p.m. Like, you should be already asleep.
Right.
But I'm hungry.
I know.
And no, then you're not.
Then you're like, oh, do I send my kid to bed?
I sure do.
I sure do. Although some days.
You have 5 goldfish.
Right.
Because I'm not brushing your teeth again.
Some days I'm like, oh, they're like, Mom, can we please just have some cereal? I'm like, just, yes. Okay, eat some cereal and then go brush your teeth again, you know? And then finally, you lay down, at least for me. I lay down, it's like 10 o'clock. They're finally all asleep and I'm like, and that's when the thoughts start to come,
yep,
you know?
You're so proud and you're so,
yeah.
But then you're like, gosh, what am I doing? Yeah,
but, you know,
am I doing this right?
Doing
Did I teach them correctly?
God, I yelled
at them. I cussed at them today.
God, every day. I mean,
just
not
kidding.
Most days.
Okay, I did.
Sorry. You know, it's important for them to have a large vocabulary.
I think they're just words.
It's fine.
They're just words. It's fine.
And that's when the grace comes in, ladies. Just saying.
It's fine. It'll all be fine.
Because at some point when they're, you know, 25, they'll be like, oh my God, my mom swore like a sailor, but like I learned from it and I got what she was saying.
Right.
So it's totally fine.
It's fine. My kids are going to be like, my mom had an explicit podcast. Like they had to put an E next to her because she says the F word way too much.
You've actually been pretty mild
tonight. I'm trying.
You should not.
I'm trying.
Yeah, but often. Okay.
Authenticity, goddammit.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about being authentic. Like, being our authentic selves. How hard is that on the daily?
So hard.
With all of these roles mm-hmm. that we feel like we need to feel.
Well, especially you and I. We're in PR and marketing.
100%.
We got to have a filter on.
So let me tell you. The other night, I went out with some girlfriends downtown South Bend, and we were supporting a charity. They were fantastic. Angels in the Attic. They're a domestic violence charity mm-hmm. in South Bend. Ooh. Smaller, relatively new, but absolutely fantastic. And we were sitting there and we were talking and we were at this bar, at this pub, and our waitress comes up and she said fucking about something. And then she apologized. She goes, oh my gosh, you guys, I am so sorry. I've been saying that so much. And we're like, oh my gosh, you're fine. She goes, look, here's the thing. I'm a teacher by day, so I get all of my swearing out at night.
I get it.
I'm not going to lie. I will go back there just because of her, because she was her authentic self, and I related. And that's just it. Like, we as women need to start realizing that if we just talked a little bit more real, we all will relate to each other so much better.
I love that. Cut the bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that on social media a lot. Like, look at my children. They're all smiling at the camera. And you're like, you know goddamn well that you've been telling those that this is the 832nd picture you've taken because you've had to yell at those kids because the brother doesn't want to be a part of the picture and like no one's looking. And they're like, this is.
You had to bribe them, like, I'll give you some candy right after this picture.
Right. Yeah. And so I love, like, my sister's a photographer, and, like, she's real. Like, she is genuine and real, and she does, like, documentary photography. And she'll be the first to tell you, like, I don't want to come and take pictures of your perfect life. I want to come take pictures of your real life, you know? And just the whole idea of, like, the kids are going to be acting up. You know why? Because they're kids, and that's what's going to happen, you know? So there is that whole level that we face today of trying to measure up to what else we see out on social media, which is it's a filtered version of life. So I love it when I see people post shit that's real. Because it's like, yes, me too. Like, I totally got my kids McDonald's 2 nights in a row this week, you know? Like, I didn't actually. I'm trying to cook, which is probably worse than McDonald's. I suck.
We go to Wendy's every night.
Yeah, I love suck at cooking. And so, but I love that when you're like, yes, goddamn right you did, because ain't nobody got time to cook a meal at home when you got to go to football practice and soccer practice and whatever. So,
I mean, and I think there's a fine line between, like, Facebook is not Dear Diary, right? I mean, there is a fine line between what you want to put on there.
I do love reading those sometimes.
Stop it. Just stop it right now. You are not going to encourage this on your podcast. I will forbid it.
Like, all 759 comments, I'm like, scroll. Wait, so what do I do at night after I get my kids to bed? I'm like, who shits on Facebook tonight? And then I screenshot and I send it to Carrie and I'm like, Carrie, look at this. She's like, I know, right?
I'm just kidding. You just totally sidetracked
everything.
You're not okay right now.
I'm being my authentic self, and
authenticity.
But okay, so that's why, like, Scary Mommy Blog is so
I do love,
like,
them.
She's so popular because she's for real. Like, ladies, we all need to be real with one another. And it doesn't have to be just about parenting. Like, I don't have children. I still want you to be real with me.
Yes.
Like, you know, on the daily, I have plenty of friends who have kids. Mm-hmm. I've worked with kids for a really long time and all of those things, but, like, I bet my life is super similar to yours in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Just because you have children doesn't mean you need to filter yourself when we talk.
Or apologize. I find myself apologizing like a shit ton.
No.
That's like, I'm sorry for this. And I'm like, no, but he's a kid. He's learning. He's da da da.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry for whatever else. Or the other day, my friend of 20 years, we were at my son's birthday party, and she had just had a baby about a month ago. And I was holding him, sweet little baby, and he's so cute. And he spit up on me. And she apologized. And I just thought, like, no.
I mean, that's mama perfume.
Nobody needs to apologize. Like, you know, but that's how we are. That's how we are. We tend to apologize a lot for things that, you know, maybe we're all a little weird. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we're all trying to find ourselves. We're all trying to reinvent ourselves.
Yes,
like, we are.
So to bring it back, I mean, maybe we talked about what's the first step is that, like, actualization and realizing, you know, admitting that you're in that phase. But then to take it down the line, you know, it's the whole idea that, we're all in it together. Like, reinvention happens all the time, and we have to give each other the space and the grace to allow that to happen.
Yeah. So. And when somebody asks you how you're doing, be honest with them.
True.
You know, that's one of those things where, as I've gotten older, you know, maybe not in my early 20s or whatever, I think we get real surface around that time. But now, like, when I say, hey, how are you doing? I would love a real answer back. Like, you don't have to perform for me. Mm-hmm. If your life is shit,
I'm fucking tired.
Tell me.
Tell me.
Exhausted.
Because at that point, like, I'm just looking for validation, man. I'm looking for you to, like,
and the connection.
Be honest with me because the odds are I'm going to be like, girl, I hear you.
I know.
Like, I totally get it. You know, maybe, like, not the same situation, but man, I can empathize, you know? And so, like, don't feed me bullshit.
Yeah.
Tell me how you're really feeling because I really want to know. And we are programmed to just be like, I'm good.
I'm fine. I mean, that goes back to, like, feeling selfish, right?
Right.
Putting everybody else in front of you. So that's part of the reinvention phase, too, is just being real and being like, you know what? Like, if I'm honest, if I'm my authentic, genuine self and I'm learning who I am, part of that is just saying what's going on.
I had a girlfriend put it on me pretty hard. It was probably a couple years ago now. But, you know, she knew I was going through a pretty rough time and she would text me now and then and be like, hey, how are you? And I'd be like, oh, I'm fine. And that was about all I would give her. And finally she was like, hey, can we get together? And it's like, all right, fine. Yeah, it's been a while. And we sat down and she goes, look, here's my problem. Like, I feel like our friendship has been adjusted a little bit because every time I ask you how you are, I get this surface answer about, oh, I'm fine. And I know that's not true. And I feel like you're not being honest with me. Like, I'm your friend. And our friendships are based off of trust, too. It's not just romantic relationships. Friendships are based off trust. And if we can't trust one another, it alters things. And I was like, oh, man, she just kind of called me out there because she's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I constantly put that through my head.
Well, you're very good at that because when we met last week, she put it on me. Put it on me.
I feel like I was pretty graceful about it.
I loved it. I needed it. No, I needed it. I'm not kidding. Like, needed that conversation. So, and that conversation will stay in the vault, but that's what I needed at that moment in my life was some drinks with Ange after Women Among Women to be like, I would say something, she's like, but really? Really? Is that really what's going on? But Angie, but don't you? You kind of do have a choice. You kind of do have, you know, some responsibility here. So, and that's what I needed.
Only because I would expect it
back. I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Like we need to be able to give it, but we also need to be able to take it.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which absolutely. Can be real hard, but but that's where reinvention comes in, right?
Yep.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah. You guys are awesome.
Oh. I love you, ladies.
I love it.
Love this wine.
I am.
We are finishing these three bottles. There's no doubt. I can drink a bottle and a half myself.
So, listeners, we're going to wrap it up here with you all. We'll probably stay here and finish off the rest of our wine. But I do appreciate you joining us.
But before we go, can I kind of insert myself?
Please do.
I'm looking through. I have a tendency to take random notes in my phone about things, and now I can't find it. Oh, I just did. So I was in Indianapolis. This was a couple of years ago, and I saw a sign. And the reason I thought of this is because I listened to a few of your Hustlin' and Heels podcasts before I came here, and you guys used to end it with like memes or snapshots.
Social share.
Social share.
Yeah, then we forgot to do it, so then we stopped doing it.
Okay. All right. That's fine. But so I was thinking of this, and I think this really kind of captures what we're talking about right now. And there was a sign that says, sometimes I think of my 20s as the cute little box of three crayons with red, blue, and yellow in it. You know the kind that you get at the restaurants with the kids' menu. It's perfect, cute, and tiny. Now that I'm almost 40, I can safely say that I have graduated to the 48 crayon box. I try not to be bothered that my outside container is a bit bigger and more tattered. I love how I've earned all the colors, the broken ones too, even the white one. What the hell is that white crayon for? Who knows? It's fine. I can't wait until I get to be the box of 72. I'll still roll my eyes that the container is a bit too big, but I can create anything I want with those colors. It makes me sad to see women want to go back and be that tiny box of three colors. You are bigger and better than that. color on.
Oh, I love it.
That's so good.
No, that's great. I have so much to look forward to.
You too.
I want to be skinny dipping at 72. Hell yeah.
I'm going to be chunky dunking.
That's it. Chunky dunking.
Do you know how many colors we're going to have?
That's right.
To make these beautiful pictures with?
Cyan.
Color on, ladies.
I love it.
Seriously, color on.
Color on. Yeah.
I like it. I love it. See what happens with season 2? You reinvent, you get bigger, you get bolder, you have more colors.
Absolutely.
You have tattoos.
You drink more wine.
You drink more wine.
Was this your first tattoo? On.
My very first.
Oh, I got mine this year too.
I don't have
any. On my birthday.
I want another one already.
Me too. I know, it's so bad. It's so right. I got a big one on my back on my birthday by myself.
Oh, I got this one by myself.
It was great.
I got this one by myself. Yeah. Let's go.
All right, we'll just get one together.
Okay.
Done.
Reinvention.
I might get a heel.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm just gonna get color on my wrist.
I do like that. Maybe a little box of crayons up before.
There you go.
Then you can add to them.
You can add to them every year. Add a crayon every year.
I do. That was beautiful. I liked that a lot.
I know. I like cried a little bit. Like, not really, but like emotionally.
It's the wine.
I always cry when I drink wine.
Well, shit. Let me wrap this up. So, anyways, thanks, y'all, for joining me. Season 2, episode 1. You know, we're putting this one in the hopper. We have a very exciting. I'm not Southern.
Almost through.
We have a almost very exciting season. Jesus Christ.
Cheers.
Let's clink.
I'm going to be in your ear every Wednesday. As these Hustlin' and Heels podcasts come. So, if you have not joined us yet on all of our social channels, you can find us at hihpod.com. You can find us on Facebook on Hustlin' and Heels. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. All of our platforms are HIH. And so happy that you joined us. We are going to continue to talk about topics that are important to women. Women who are wearing all kinds of shoes. Doesn't matter if you're wearing heels. Doesn't matter if you're wearing hiking boots. Doesn't matter if you're wearing your bare feet, like my best friend Carrie. That girl does not wear shoes. It does not matter what you wear. We just hope that you join us every week on Hustlin' and Heels. And signing off. See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' and Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacey Carlin and Kaylee Gaines, and all views and opinions expressed on the shows are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacey and Kaylee on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. And you can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the ladies if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. If you've got a question, comment, or to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all we have today, so make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for our next episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.